Thank you, Lord, for bringing us together today as we're reminded of your promises of the past, your provision for the present, and the hope that we have for the future. Because you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. I pray now as we hear these words preached, that the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, would be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Once there were two brothers who were known to be quite the troublemakers. And one day, their mother, out of desperation, asked the pastor to talk to the boys. She said specifically to put the fear of God into them so that they would hopefully change their terrible ways. And the pastor agreed. So the pastor said to bring her sons in and to send them in one at a time. So the younger brother drew the short straw and went in to talk to pastor. Pastor told him to sit down in the chair across from his desk, and the pastor began in a commanding voice with this question for this young boy. Where is God? The boy was so scared that he jumped up out of his chair and ran out of the office to his brother and said, guess what? God is missing. And everybody thinks it's our fault. Oh, yes. I don't know if they learned their lesson that time, but it introduces to us this text for today from Acts chapter 1. You can hear throughout our readings, it speaks about this ascension of Jesus, where he fulfills his ministry on this earth, and then he fulfills the promise of ascending into heaven, and the promise of sending the Holy Spirit after his ascension. And these specific readings don't necessarily speak about fear, but I don't know about you, but it's always good to read the scripture and then put yourself into that. Put yourself in the shoes of these disciples for a moment. Jesus has been with them they've known him for decades. And now he is getting ready to leave them. This leader, this teacher, this friend. Someone who claims to be God has grown, taught them, and now is going to leave them. You know, I think of the times where I was with people that I enjoyed being in their presence. And I knew that I wasn't going to be with them for a very long time again. And in a sense, there's a bit of fear. Fear of, am I going to make them proud of me? Right? As these kids go off for graduation, whether that be high school or college. To put yourself in their shoes, to think about that. And in a sense, there is that fear. And I want to focus on fear today. Because there's a lot of that going around, you know, something that we've had to deal with, especially this last year with the pandemic, all of the unknowns, and even the future, our government, our enemies, and, you know, there's fear, but it's nothing new. God's people have dealt with fear a long time. Actually, God's people are told to fear. But there's a proper place for our fear, and that is the fear of the Lord. This is a term, the fear of the Lord, is a term that is a fear not to strike horror and panic, but to provide comfort and relief. Okay? That's what we're going to look at today. Because when we realize that we are not the masters of our lives, but that we belong to God, That is when we realize that we are acceptable by Him. We often get into trouble when we believe that we are the masters of our lives and live in ways that are against God's word, that are not only sinful, but are also the opposite of fearing God. When we think about fear, we often think of it as a negative thing, meaning to be afraid of something or someone that is an unhealthy kind of fear. But the fear of the Lord is something more than surprise or terror. As I said, it's a key teaching, so important throughout the scripture. For instance, in Psalm 130, verse 4 says, this is a common phrase that we actually use in our liturgy as well. But with you, there is forgiveness. Therefore, you are feared. This kind of fear has a sense of trust. And this is the kind of fear the Bible connects to God in a healthy sense. Because we can only truly respect and revere God when we believe that He is just. This word just is again a word that's known throughout the scriptures and taught. It's a term that is familiar for us, just as fear is. But we have to go back to seeing what the Bible defines justice as. It's a term for what is right or as it should be, meaning that God's justice flows out of His righteousness and His holiness. That's where all justice comes from, actually, which we can't understand unless we first understand sin. Sin and the depth of sin. The Bible says that sin is lawlessness, and it includes everything that's opposite of God's holy nature and is offensive to Him. So another way to understand God's justice is to look at the injustice that we see in this world. Why do we seek justice for those who commit crimes against our laws? It's because we desire justice to be done to those who break the law. And so does God. That's why He set up the judges in the Old Testament, in order that justice would prevail among His people. The difference, though, between God's justice and judgment and earthly justice and judgment is that God is perfect, whereas those who judge our laws today hopefully and prayerfully have good intentions, but they are imperfect. And though there's a penalty to pay for injustice done in this life, we must remember that sin, our sin, is ultimately a crime against God, first and foremost. And justice always demands a penalty. Justice always demands a penalty for sin. That's why God sent Jesus to pay our penalty for sin and made a way that we are to be forgiven, that we have forgiveness and salvation available to us who believe in Jesus' name. King David in the Psalm 34, sums this up well for us. I sought the Lord and He answered me, delivered me from my fears. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and delivers them. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints, for those who fear Him lack nothing. Again, the proper place for our fear, ultimate fear, is in the Lord. In other words, when we fear God, there is nothing that we have to be afraid of in this life. But what does it mean to fear God? Fearing God means believing that Jesus died for you. Fearing God means that receiving the forgiveness that Jesus earned for you on the cross. Fearing God means belonging to Him in His forever family. Believing, receiving, belonging. And when we obey God's word, it shows evidence of the faith that is inside of us, that is available as we witness that faith and lack of fear to the world around us. But even our best efforts, we fall short, and at times suffer the consequences. And that is especially why it's important to remember the only way that we are acceptable to God is to repent and to confess your sin, that you can be forgiven. The Bible says that His perfect love drives out fear. There's an unhealthy fear in this world. Fear that keeps us up at night. Fear that makes us worry about whatever it is. Fear for our safety. Fear for the unknowns. You fill in the blank. What are you afraid of? Fear of dying young, dying old. You fill in the blank. It's probably similar to the person sitting beside you, though. And when we think about that fear, whatever that fear is that a healthy fear or is it an unhealthy fear for you? Because really the only healthy fear is to fear being outside of God's will and dying ultimately. That's what I fear. And that's a healthy fear, is to be outside of God's will. The fear of that keeps me in God's will, keeps me coming together as a family of God, confessing my sin before you and before God, receiving His forgiveness before you and before God. That is that place, that purpose, that healthy purpose for fear. Because on this side of heaven, we will continue to struggle with sin and all those things associated with it. Yet, we are reminded today that we do not lose heart of the truth. The truth that faith in Jesus we have for Him. Therefore, we do not have to fear those things of this world. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this day and this message of being reminded that with you there is forgiveness. And that therefore you are feared. Feared in a sense of fear of being away from you and outside of your will for us. And so God, I thank you that you command us to take heart, to not be afraid. Therefore you equip us to do that. That you've equipped us in every single way. And Lord, we need encouraged to be encouraged in that truth. And so today I pray for each person here that whatever those unhealthy fears are, Lord, that they are reminded today that you equipped them to put those things aside and to place that energy and focus on you and your love for us. Your justice, your mercy, your grace, your forgiveness. That ultimately you are our trust, the one that we can count on in every situation, in every circumstance. And so, Lord, as the disciples stood as you ascended into heaven, that we would be reminded to not fear. To go and do as you have said. To join you in your work as you give us life and breath to you. And until then, Lord, that we would continue to look to you, that you would strengthen us, and that we would be able to bear all crosses that we face in this life, and remember that you have said to your disciples some of those last words that you will be with us always. To the very end of the day. So we thank you for that promise today and every day. Amen.